for the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've been looking at one passage of Scripture, which is Acts chapter 6. And I've looked at it from just about every angle I thought I could possibly look at it. And I remember even last week, last Sunday, as I was getting ready to preach, because I actually came in at 8:30 thinking I was going to preach. It was pretty sad, wasn't it, Jim? I came walking in the office, and I put my hand on the desk, and I said, I don't think I should be here again. And Kim goes, will you go home? And even at that point in time, I thought I had the message for this small passage here figured out. And the Lord revealed to me this week something really amazing, something that I can't wait to share with you. And I want to encourage you in this. Don't skip through your readings. When you're reading the Bible, so many times I think we have this idea that it's a contest to get all the way through it in a year or something like that, or we think that we have to do certain portions of it, and we have to read a new passage of Scripture every single day in order to get something out of it. I want to encourage you with this morning is grab a piece of passage. It doesn't matter where it's at, a chapter, a half a chapter, 5 verses, 6 verses, whatever. I want you to try something for the next couple weeks. Just grab a passage of Scripture and stick with it. Just stick with that one little passage of Scripture for a week or 2 weeks. Just keep reading it. Keep looking at the fine details of what's going on in that passage of Scripture, and just allow God to speak to you through that. It tells us that the greatest teacher that we have in Scripture, it tells us the greatest teacher is the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. It says He will teach you all things. And so many times I think we get too big of a hurry in our studying of Scripture, and we don't just sit back and let it cultivate, let it percolate in us, and allow the Holy Spirit to really speak to us. Because I think that's what's happened to me these last couple of weeks. I've looked at this passage of Scripture in the fine details, looking at little bits and pieces, and then I've looked at it in the big picture, and I looked at it from other people's perspective, and I never stopped to just let God just really speak to me. And this week, He stopped me. I mean, He literally stopped me and let me listen. And I want to share this with you because I think it's something really important that the church has been missing, that I think the church as a whole has been missing in a big way. And I think there's a blessing that God wants to give to us through this small passage of Scripture that will make an impact in our church's lives and the lives of many churches if we'll listen and be obedient. It's Acts chapter 6. I started it a couple weeks ago. We looked at it from just one small detail, that this church thing that we're doing is not just a one-day-a-week thing. It's an every-day-week relationship that God is calling us into. We aren't just supposed to be meeting on Sunday and say, oh, I've gone to church. That's not what God intended the church to be. God intended the church to be a living organism, a family that gets together, that meets together, that lives together, that serves together, that eats together, that lives together in many different ways throughout their lives, throughout the entire week. In Acts chapter 6, it says, in those days, when the number of the disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily, there it is again, the daily distribution of food. So the church was the distribution center for the widows to get their daily distribution of food. You see, the church was some place that people went to every day of the week in order to fellowship, in order to praise and worship and learn and grow and fellowship and in knowledge and wisdom of God. Okay? So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables, brothers. Choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. Hear that? This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, Philip, Porcus, Nicanor, Timon, I'm terrible with names. I'm gonna butcher them fast, okay? Parmenius, Nicholas, from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. What? Where do you see some major important thing going on in this passage? There's a lot of things going on in this passage, but there's something I think that the church has been missing for a long, long time. And it's happened because of some assumptions that we've had in the church, not just here at our church at Walnut Community Bible Church, but the church as a whole. I think there's some assumptions that have been going on for a long time that we maybe need to break, I think, and start being more obedient to what God is calling to us. Because you see, what God is doing to us right here, He's giving us a picture of the way He intended His church to be. We're looking at the church in its infancy.
okay, within weeks, maybe months of when the church really got started, when people really started gathering together. This is when the church was really the church that God intended to be. You see, if you want to get back to the purest form of something, if you want to get back to its purest form, like when the earth was created, the purest form of when the earth was created was right when God created it. Everyone agree? We're living in the trash heap now, okay? But when God first created the earth, that was its purest form. It was in its most beauty right at that moment. And same thing with the church. When the church was in its purest form was when God first created it, when it was growing and active right at the very beginning. And so that's what we have a picture of the church in its purest form. Right here, it's just an organization that's getting started. And at this point in time, the 12 disciples are over everything. They're doing all of it. Everyone is just coming and being fed. And the disciples are taking care of the distribution of food. They're taking care of the preaching. They're taking care of the prayers. They're taking care of all the aspects of the church. They're doing everything. The 12 disciples at this point in time. And all of a sudden they come to a point in the ministry that they recognize they can't do everything. Now there's a disagreement that happens in the church between the Hebraic Jews and the Hellenistic Jews, okay? And people think, oh no, there's a problem in the church, they're arguing. No, problems in the church are not bad things. Problems in the church are just showing needs that the church has, that community has. And problems in the church, when people have disagreements or when people there's disagreements and things are going on, that's not a bad thing that for us go, oh no, there's a disagreement. No, it's time to look at what needs to change. What needs are not being met, and how can those needs be met by the church family? And that's exactly what's going on here. And the disciples were wise because they recognized that they were getting spread too thin. They said, you know what? It is not right for us to give up the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Now, were they saying waiting on tables was not important? Absolutely not. They were saying, this is very important. We need to have this ministry, but we cannot do both ministries. We cannot give up the ministry of the Word of God in order to do this. We are called to do this. Someone else needs to be called to do that. Now, something really interesting is going on here. This is one of the little studies I got to have these last couple weeks. This idea of the ministry of the Word of God. Just real quick, there's all kinds of things. You know that Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 talks about the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, can penetrate, you know, bones and marrow and all these different things. But you also know what the Word of God is. I just love this part. You also know what the Word of God is. The Word of God is life. And when the disciples said they could not give up the ministry of the Word of God, they're saying they could not give up the ministry of administering life into people. And when I say administering life into people, I literally mean administering life. The Word of God is life. The reason I say that, I just love this. I'm just going to share it with you, and then I'm going to move on. In Ezekiel chapter 37, I don't know how I got there looking at the Word of God, but I just have to share this because it just made me smile. It made me laugh. It made me quivery, to be real honest with you. Chapter 37, this is Ezekiel. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord. He set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. You guys remember this story? This valley was full of bones. He led me back forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very, very dry. And he asked me, he says, son of man, can these bones live? I said, oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy. Listen to what this says. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear, listen to what it says, hear the word of the Lord. So Ezekiel is prophesying to a valley of dry, dead bones, just bones. And he says, I want you to prophesy to those bones the word of the Lord. And so Ezekiel, I'm sure he's kind of like freaked out. Okay, well, all right, all you bones, listen up. I don't know what he said to him, but he spoke the word of the Lord to the bones. And this is what the sovereign Lord said to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life, and then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise. I love this. Kids, are you listening to this? I love this. As he was prophesying to the bones, it says there was a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin started to cover them, but there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come forth the winds from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. And if you continue reading, the dry bones not only came together, not only did tendons start to grow between them, and not only was there flesh, but as Ezekiel continued to prophesy to them the word of God, they became alive. Guess what? You guys have a great advantage to dry bones. You've already got the bone, you've already got the tendons, you already got the flesh, you already got the blood, you've already got the breath of life flowing through you. You just need to hear the word of God. Come alive. You see, that's exactly what he was talking about when he says we cannot neglect the word of God, because the word of God is life. But he says, we're not saying that this is not important, but he says, we need to bring up some people that are going to wait on the tables, that are going to take care of the tables. And you know, this is where I got so confused, because I started looking at all the different commentaries and all the different things that are going on about this passage. And everyone is saying a couple different things about this passage. One, the most important thing is that it's an introduction of Stephen, because the rest of the chapter is about Stephen. And so this is just a good introduction of how to introduce Stephen into the picture of what's going on here, so we can have the other discussion about Stephen here later on. And I'm like, okay, that's great, but why is it so important, these things that he's talking about, these different ministries? And then some people look at it and say, oh, well, this is the introduction of deacons into the church. And deacons are the servants of the church. They're the ones who are supposed to be doing the work, who are over the oversight of the physical aspect of church life. You got your elders who are over the spiritual aspect of your church life, and then you've got the deacons who are over the physical aspects, like taking care of the money and making sure the lights get turned on, or making sure the doors are locked, and all the physical aspects of the church. That's what the deacons are supposed to be important of. And that's kind of what our board does. They take care of our finances and take care of any problems that are and different things like that. And so they're saying this is where deacons came from, because they're going to wait on tables. And they justify this. And maybe it's true because of the word wait on tables. Here it is. This is where they get deacons. The word wait on tables is the same, is a verb of the same word that is used for deacons. I can't remember what that word is, but wait on tables, that verb right there has the same root as the word, the noun, deacons. And so everyone says, oh, this is the introduction of the deacons into the church. And I bought into it. And that's how I was thinking all the way through this, until this week when I continued to read and study in this passage, because there's important things that are going on here that I don't think this is talking about deacons. Because if it's talking about deacons, we have in our mind that the deacons are like this special group within the church, like the board, and we've elected the deacons, and we have this special election to make sure that they're over the oversight of the physical location of the church and the physical being of the church and the money of the church. And these are the deacons that take care of things, or our board here at our church. And this is, you know, this is an important thing. I don't think that's it. I don't think that's it. You know what? I think this is the first ministry formed in the church. Listen to me. This is important. This is the first ministry formed in the church that is outside of the realm of the disciples, who are ministering the word of God. They said, you know what? It's not just the word of God we're concerned about. There are other ministries that need to take place in the church. And this is the first ministry. Listen to this. The first ministry started in the church. The first of many that were going to be developed in the church. And God is giving us a blueprint, I really believe, in how this ministry should be started and how it should be blessed. And the reason I say this is a ministry is because that's what they said about their own ministry. Look what it said. Whoa, I got to get back to Acts. Back to Acts chapter 6. This is what they said about their own ministry. They said, it would not be right for us to neglect, what's it say? The ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Look what it says in verse 4. And we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. You see, they recognized what they were doing was a ministry. And there was another ministry that needed to take place. If they were forming deacons, and this is why I'm saying this, if they were just forming a deacon, an overviewing board of the different aspects of the church, which I don't think they are, but if that's what they were doing, why is it that every name that is mentioned here, and this is talked about in other places, why is every name mentioned here, Stephen and Philip and Porcus and all the other ones I can't pronounce, why are all those named Greek names? Okay? You remember the problem? We got Greek Jews and Hebraic Jews? And so when they elected seven guys, they're all Greek Jews, taking care of the Greek widows. Now, if they were creating a deacon board that was over all the oversight of all the different aspects of the church, which many people think they're doing, that would be a wrong representation of the church, wouldn't it? If they were creating a deacon board, if they were creating a group that was going to be over all the oversight of all the physical aspects of the church, there should have been Hebraic Jews in that group. There should have been a greater, wider sect of that group, but it's not. This is a designed ministry that God is creating, that the church is creating. Now you're thinking, Eldon, why are you getting so excited about this? What's up with this? Why are you getting so excited? I'm getting so excited because God's telling us to do something really important with ministries. I really believe that he's giving us an example of what he wants us to do with ministries, with ministry groups within the church. Not just the boards, not just the elders, but every ministry that we have in the church. You see, I think when people get this idea that, oh, this was just the deacons, or this is just the elders, and these are the higher-ups, and they're the most important, and things like that, and we're not in any way, shape, or form. We just have a ministry just like anyone else. But see, what God is saying here is this is what I want you to do. He says, I want you to find people that are full of the Spirit. When there's a need in the church, when there's something that needs to be taken care of in the church, he says, I want you to find people who are full of the Spirit. How do you find people that are full of the Spirit and full of wisdom? I don't know. I'm looking at you. I'm looking at Eric. I'm looking at Brett. You know, you both look goofy to me. I don't know. I can watch their lives. But how do I know that they're full of the Spirit? How do I know that they're full of wisdom, that God has put their hand of wisdom on them? Or any one of you guys, or looking at me, how do you know whether I'm full of the Spirit? You know how you know you're full of Spirit? Is if you're connected to the vine. If you're connected to the vine, you're going to produce what?
Fruit.
And if you produce fruit, what you're going to produce, either good fruit or bad fruit. The good fruit is the fruit of the Spirit, which is in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, all these different aspects. You see, we can look at one another and we can find out whether someone is displaying the fruit of the Spirit in their life. Can we not? We can discern that. We can seek those people out. We can affirm those people and let them know, you know what? Dude, Ryan Kepner, I see the fruit of the Spirit coming out of you. I see changes in your life. I see changes in Jamie's life. I see changes that are going on in your lives that amaze me. And I love to see. I see where you were 8 months ago, and I see the connectedness that God has in your life, and I can see the fruit of the Spirit coming out of you. And brother, I love to see it. You know what? At other times, I can look at other people and I can say, you know what? What happened to the fruit? Where is it going? Why are you getting so wrapped up in the world now? Why do you have so many concerns? Why are you so worried? Why are you getting so weighted down? And I want to say, you know what? You're getting disconnected to the vine, from the vine. You're getting disconnected from the Word. You know what? The Word of God will produce fruit in your life. The fellowship of the saints will produce fruit in your life. The Holy Spirit is drawn to the Holy Spirit. And it will produce fruit in your life. But if you ignore it and disconnect, that fruit starts to wither. That fruit starts to die. That fruit can fall off and can no longer be a part in your life until you get yourself reconnected to the vine. You see, it tells us to look for people, to look for the fruit of the Spirit that's coming in their lives. Are we chasing the world or are we chasing the things of God? But then this is what it says, and this is where I think the church has fallen down. And I admit this freely. I felt like, who is the guy that found the found the Bible in the church, in the temple? Not the Bible, but the who was that? Josiah, was that who it was? The king who commissioned? Anyway, I felt like that guy this week because I looked at this passage and I was like, duh. We are so silly. What has been going on? Because you know what? He tells us when there's a ministry getting started, when you're looking for people to start a new ministry or when they're in the midst of ministry, you know what he tells us to do? Look what it says right here. They presented these men to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them and started that ministry off right. And that hit me like a brick right between the eyes this week. Because I'd looked at all the little different pieces, but that one little piece I'd been missing. And you know, sometimes we do that. When we have missionaries go off, you know, when we got short-term missionaries going off, whether they're going to Brazil or to Romania or to wherever they're going, we do that. We do it pretty faithfully. We call that missionary team up and we lay hands and we pray on them. And we ask people to pray for them on that missionary trip. And that's a great thing. I think we need to continue doing that. That's important. But guess what? That's a short-term trip. And that's like a 10-day thing going on. But we've got ministries that are going on that are on a continuous basis. And what I see in our church and in the church as a whole is people get worn out. They get tired. They start to drop away and give up. And what we do, we just try to find another warm body, another person filled with Spirit, and we try to fit them in there. But you know what? I think we've been neglecting something that's been really important that God's Word said at the very beginning. I think God intended us, when ministries start, when people enter into ministry, whether you're a Sunday school teacher or a breakout leader or you're a youth group leader or you're leading a ladies' study or a men's study or if you're part of the cleaning crew or whatever you're doing, whatever that aspect of ministry is, I think God has called us to call these people up and to lay our hands on them and pray for them for the wisdom of God, for the Spirit of God to come through them. I think God wants to bestow a blessing on the ministry of the church, and we need to be obedient to that. Now, I can see it very plainly why Satan wouldn't want this to happen. I can see very plainly why he'd want to get it into the minds, oh, this is a deacon's board, and we need to do this for the deacon's board, but all these other things, they're just waiting on tables. This is small potato stuff. We reserve that for the elders or for small-term mission trips or for the deacons or for all these different things. You know what? I think that's a life coming from the pit of hell. I think the church needs to be empowered by the Spirit of God working in and through and around people. And I think people need encouragement to know that the Spirit of God is with them and that the church is behind them and supporting them. So today, I'm going to do something different than we've ever done. And I think the Lord made me sick last week so I could be here today for this message. Today I would like all of our breakout teachers, every one of you, I would like our education committee to come up right now. That means you have to stand. Every teacher, I don't care if it's from the nursery to the high school, I want every teacher to come forward right now. Adult teachers, come forward right now. I would like, is Loretta here? I would like our daycare workers, if they're here, I want you to come forward right now. I would like our youth group leaders, our junior high youth group leaders. Yes, that means you guys. Yes, that means you. I'd like our high school youth group leaders to come forward right now, each one of you. We have two new ministries starting right now. We've got our ladies' study that's starting this week, and Kathy's already up here. We've got our Celebrate Recovery ministry that's starting with Annie. And Annie, I'd like you to come up right now, and the other leaders that are part of that. I'd like our Cool Kids workers come up right now. Anyone who's involved in Cool Kids. If you're involved, yes, Tracy, you're involved in Cool Kids. Get up here, gal. If you're involved in Cool Kids, I'd like you to come up. Right now, I'm probably missing someone. Children's Church. All of our Children's Church workers, if you guys would come up right now. I know this seems a little bit weird to you, but I want you to come up. If you're not already up here, Haley, I'm going to call you out, man, because you work like a dog for that ministry. BJ? Why don't you guys turn around? This is pretty amazing. See, God's called them to an incredibly important work, to teach, to encourage, to bestow the Word of God into our young people. And it's an amazing task. What I'd like you to do right now, as they're standing up here, I'd like every single one of you still seated. I'd like every one of you, every single one of you, to make contact with one of these people. To choose one right now who's standing before you and pray for them. Pray for them not just today and not just this week, but throughout the rest of this year, because they're going to be right in the trenches each week doing what God's called them to do, and they need the prayer support of you who are sitting there. I'd like our elders to come up right now. In obedience to God's word, I'm just going to ask you guys if you just stretch out your arms and place your hands on these people, and I ask that we now bow and we're going to pray. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord and God, you are an incredible and mighty and awesome God, and I am so grateful for your word. I am so grateful for the way that you work in our lives. I am so grateful for the spirit that you give to us, Lord. I thank you for the way that you provide for us and protect us. I thank you for the love that you shower into us, Lord, in so many different ways. And Heavenly Father, God, I just pray that you would continue to bless these people, Lord, in the ministries that you have called them to, Lord. Lord, your word tells us that not many of us should presume to be teachers, because we will be held to a higher standard, Lord. And right now, I know the weight of that responsibility is heavy on each and every one of these folks, Lord. And right now, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would give them the encouragement that only comes through your hand, that only comes from your wisdom and through your Holy Spirit and through your power, God. I pray that you give them the desire in their hearts to find the time in their busy schedules to find you and to seek you in your word, Lord. I pray that you would open your word up to them in such a way that it is jumping off the page, God, that they can find excitement and joy in the study that you have called them to, Lord. And I just pray that you would give them the ability to impart that wisdom and that word of life to those that you have given them responsibility for. Heavenly Father, God, I pray that you allow this job to become a joy for them. I pray that you would give them wisdom and patience. I pray that you would allow love to flow through them, Lord, like never before. I pray that you would give them encouragement, God, to be steadfast in all that you have called them to, Lord. And I pray that this would be a joy. Lord, I pray for protection around their families and the time that will be spent away from them, Lord. And I pray that you put a hand of blessing and a hand of protection around those homes. Lord, I pray that you would help us as a congregation to be a true encouragement to them in the ministry that you've called them to. And that you, Lord, would allow us to find ways to encourage them and lift them up. Lord, you are an awesome God, and I thank you for the way that you've called us. I thank you for the way that you've empowered us, and I thank you for the way that you will guide and direct us from this day forward. Lord, help us to serve you and you alone, to give you the praise and the glory and the honor that only you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for answering the call. I'm going to tell you, I think so many times the church becomes weak because they aren't following what God's word is saying. I think so many times we miss where God is wanting to bless us because we aren't stepping out in obedience in so many different ways. You know, we know what we're supposed to do, but unless we step out and do it, God can never bless it. You know, he's calling each and every one of us to a ministry. And this is not going to be a one-time thing. As a matter of fact, when I see new ministries starting, when I see them restarting back up, I'm just going to tell you right now. I'm not going to tell you when or how or what it will be like, but I'm going to call you up because I want the blessing of God to be in your life, in your home, and in the ministry that he's calling you to. I think we need to have our worship team up here at some point in time. I think we need to have our board up here at some point in time. I think we need to have the abundance of ministries that this church is involved in right now to be blessed by the Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to get weird. I'm not trying to be wacko. When I see what the Word of God says, I want to follow it with my whole heart. And I pray that our church will do the same. Amen? What is God calling you to do? What changes is He calling you to make? What step of faith that He's asking you to make right now? Is it a change in your job? Is it a change in your relationships? Is it a change in the time that you spend alone in your recreation? Is He asking you for the very first time to lay down your life and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior? Is He calling you to the obedience that comes with that in the watery grave of baptism? What's He calling you to do? Stop continuing on in the way that we're doing things and start putting our lives under the authority of Christ. And see how He wants to bless you. See how He wants to change your life for a lifetime. Let's stand as we sing.